I'm Megan.
I'm Christy.
And we are
Home Burger Crew.
Why are we so bad at this? I'm even looking at your face right now.
I know, Brittany and I had a hard time when we did ours.
Why are we so bad at this when we're not together?
I don't understand. I don't know. It's the vibes are too far apart, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vibes are not vibing.
Yeah, they're not vibing. Too much distance. Another remote episode for y'alls.
Yes.
We're doing our best. But you know what? Calgary and like southern central Alberta just got fucking hammered with a shit ton of snow. Like a metric fuck ton of snow. And so it's just not safe for anybody to really travel right now.
Definitely not.
It's not as bad. Now, whoops, it's not as bad now, but like it's still hit and miss.
Yeah, no, it was pretty awful today. The roads were shit.
Yeah,
and because we live in different areas of Alberta,
this is just a little easier
today.
Yeah. So I go outside to walk the dogs tonight before recording. And there's this blue car that was just sitting out front. And he's kind of creeping up the curb.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And right before I went outside, we're kind of like, we looked outside and we seen this car parked blocking our driveway. And he was like kind of pulled up on the sidewalk. And Nolan's like, motherfucker, just parking behind, blocking us in and parking on the sideway. Motherfucking asshole. Da, 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 whatever. And then he seemed to have left. And I'm like, oh, he's gone now. Whatever. So I go out with the dogs and this blue car is coming back up, like slowing down as I come out, slowing down at the curb. And I'm like feeling a little sketched out.
No doubt.
I'm walking slowly. Thank God I have my dogs and I'm kind of peeking into the car, but I can't really see because the way where the light is, it's kind of dark. And, but then he starts waving at me and it's fucking Nolan's best friend from Manitoba.
Oh shit!
Drove out here to surprise him. Like we kind of knew he was planning a trip, but So he's here. He brought his kid, who's like 10 years old.
Okay.
So Maverick's just having like the best time right now. And needless to say, it's an hour past bedtime, and I think we're just gonna let him go until he runs out of steam.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Way to be a creeper best friend from Manitoba.
No kidding, hey? So what's new with you? You just celebrated a birthday.
I did.
Happy birthday to our Megs. Oh, I forgot to make a post about you on our socials.
Woo.
I'm sorry. Okay. I don't think there's a post about my birthday either, so.
Yeah, no, I forgive you. We gotta get better with that, but we're working on it.
We're working on it. Speaking of working on things.
What did you do today, Christy?
We officially have a Patreon, you guys.
Yay, Patreon!
So, yeah. So, I've gone and moved all of our microbrews off of our regular listening
platform.
So, you can no longer access those from wherever you get your podcasts. But there's only a handful of them right now, and we hope to do a bunch more. But they're basically, if you don't know what a microbrew is, it's just our shorter episodes, right? So, we try to make like a regular episode about an hour long. Our microbrews are anywhere from like 20 to 40 minutes. So, it's just a little bit more easy listening. We don't go as in depth, or maybe we don't have as much information, but it's still something that we're interested in. That we want to share with you guys. So that's where those will be. I'm also going to get like blooper reels together and put those up there for good laughs. And also all of our video recorded episodes will be uploaded to Patreon as well. So even though this one's like a regular listening episode and you can listen to it on any platform, you'll only be able to view the video of our silly faces on Patreon. And it's only $3 a month right now. There's only one tier. And obviously we'll figure out, brainstorm some more things that we can offer on that platform. But for right now, that's kind of where we're starting. But all the proceeds will go towards beefing up our podcast game, essentially.
Yay.
So Your support is much appreciated, and any new subscribers will definitely get a shout out at the end of every, like, the next regular episode. Mm-hmm. So it will be, you know, for everybody to hear your shout out. Use a silly name, whatever. Make us blush, make us laugh, whatever. Yeah. It's all in good fun. So that's where we're at with that.
Nice. I'm excited.
Anything in true crime news?
We had a standoff in Calgary last week that lasted 30 hours.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Pembroke.
That's all I have, I think, that I can remember anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Matthew DeGrood. He tried to get permanently released, and that was denied. So he's going to remain. Yeah. I don't think he's in jail. I think he's actually in a medical facility.
Right.
But he's going to remain there.
As he should.
Okay. That's all I have.
Cool. Well, let's get into it, shall we?
I can't wait.
So we're taking a little trip. So get your passport out. Pack your bags. Let's head on to a jet plane. And
leaving on a jet plane. Don't know
when I'll be back again.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, continue.
Oh, babe, I hate to grow. And that's why we do videos now.
Sorry, that was my cat's.
Oh, you're all pixelated there.
Oh, my cat got in the way.
Yeah, that's okay. Hi, Miss Amber. Miss Amber, right? Yeah. So we're going to Austria.
Ooh.
Yep. And this one's actually a survivor story.
Ooh, I love survivor story.
I feel like we haven't had one of these in a while.
Been a while.
In this sense. So I also want to, I know we don't do trigger warnings, but I have been known to have some hard-hitting episodes that are a little bit much.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. What draws me to them, but I'm like, oh, this is juicy, this is intense. But then by the time I do the episode, I'm like, ooh, that was a little much.
Yeah.
So I do want to give a trigger warning for rape, child abuse, sexual assault. There's a whole plethora of things with this one. So if you're not in a good headspace, maybe put this one off for a little bit. If any of those issues are triggering to you, maybe pass this one up like for eternity. Totally understand.
Yeah.
Megan, hopefully you're in a good headspace for it, because I'm not really giving you much of a choice.
I am. Thank you. Okay.
So we're going to start with a man named, and maybe you know this case. We're going to start with a man named Joseph Fritzl.
Mm-hmm. So far, not familiar.
Okay. So he's now known as Joseph Meyerhoff. He's since changed his last name. So he was born on April 9th of 1935 in Amstetten to Joseph Fritzl Sr. and Maria Fritzl. He grew up as an only child. He was raised solely by his working mother, and his father, who was a severe alcoholic, had basically just deserted the family when Fritzl was only 4, and he never came into contact with him. Fritzl Sr. later fought as a soldier in the Wehrmacht during World War II. Sorry, that was one word that I forgot to find a pronunciation on. Of course.
Okay, we forgive you.
And he was killed in action in 1944. Now, after completing his education at an HTL technical college with a qualification in electrical engineering, he obtained a job at, Voestalpine in Linz. From 1969 until 1971, he held a job in a construction material firm in Amsterdam. And later, he became a technical equipment salesman, traveling throughout Austria. He retired from active employment when he turned 60 in 1995, but he continued some commercial activities. And in addition to his apartment building in Amstetten, Fritzl also rented out several other properties. And in 1972, he purchased a guest house and an adjacent campsite at Lake Monsey. He ran it together with his wife until 1996. I need a drink already. I can't get enough water lately. It's crazy.
That's good, though. Water's important.
It's good, yeah. So in 1956, at the age of 21, Fritzl Jr., our Fritzl here, he married 17-year-old Rosemary, with whom he had 3 sons and 4 daughters, including Elizabeth, who is the other person we're talking about today, who was born on April 6th of 1966. So the Fritzl property in Amstetten is a building dating from around 1890. She old,
yeah.
She's do you remember that old, what do they call it? Like the HGTV network? It was like an old show called This Old House.
Oh, yeah. It was basically
about renovating old houses. Yeah,
yep.
It should be part of that show. A newer building was added after 1978 when Fritzl applied for a building permit for an extension with basement. In 1983, building inspectors visited the site and they verified that, yeah, everything looks good. The extension had been built according to the dimensions specified on the permit. Bang on. Good job, Fritzl. And then after that, after he had like the thumbs up, right, from the inspectors, he then had to legally enlarge the room by excavating space for a much larger basement concealed by walls. Around 1981 or 1982, around 1981 or 82, Fritzl started to turn this hidden cellar into a prison cell and installed a wash basin, a toilet, a bed, a hot plate, which if you don't know what a hot plate is, basically just like something to cook your food on. Gets hot. It's a plate. Gets hot. A refrigerator as well. In 1983, he added more space by creating a passageway to a pre-existing basement area under the old part of the property, of which only he knew about. So we're not off to a great start, because
definitely not.
You're building prison cells in your basement. This can't be good.
No, never. That's never a good sign.
No. So the concealed cellar had a 16-foot corridor or hallway, had a storage area and 3 small open cells connected by narrow passageways. And it had a basic cooking area and bathroom facilities, followed by 2 sleeping areas, which were equipped with 2 beds each. Unfortunately, it wouldn't pass code for basement suite. That's not how any of this works.
Pretty sure that's not its purpose either.
Yeah, it's not. So it covered an area of approximately 590 square feet. The cell had 2 access points. Excuse me. The cell had 2 access points. A hinged door that weighed 500 kilograms, or that's 1,100 pounds. This door weighed 1,100 pounds.
That is fucking heavy.
Which is thought to have become unusable over the years because of its weight. And it had a metal door reinforced with concrete and on steel rails that weighed 300 kilograms or 660 pounds. And that measured 3 feet high and 2 feet wide. It was located behind a shelf in Fritzl's basement workshop, protected by an electronic code entered using a remote control unit. So literally, that was like a fucking hobbit hole door.
What?
Like, yeah, it's 3.3 feet high,
yeah,
and 2 feet wide.
That's tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's not even as big as like my window lengthwise, like widthwise.
Yeah, that's
tiny.
You have to crawl through that door.
It's a little crawl space door. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah. And it was located behind.
Not suspicious
at all. No, not at all. And that was located behind a shelf in Fritzl's basement workshop, protected by an electronic code entered using a remote control unit. In order to reach this door, 5 locking basement rooms had to be crossed. So in order to reach it from the inside of this cellar, you had to cross through 5 locking basement rooms.
Okay.
Sir, why?
Yeah, like,
sir, why?
I have some ideas. We're gonna see well, where this goes.
We're gonna, yeah, okay. We'll talk about Elizabeth here for a bit. Okay. So after completing compulsory education at age 15, Elizabeth started a course to become a waitress. In January 1983, she ran away from home and went into hiding in Vienna with a friend from work. She was found by police within 3 weeks and returned to her parents in Amsterdam. She rejoined her waitress course. She finished it in mid-1984, and she was actually offered a job in nearby Linz. On the 28th of August, 1984, after Elizabeth turned 18, Fritzl had requested her help in the basement, stating that he needed help carrying a door. In reality, Fritzl had been converting the basement into a makeshift prison chamber, as we've just realized recently. Mm. The door was the last thing that he needed to seal it. So after Elizabeth held the door in place while Fritzl fitted it into the frame and connected it, he held an ether-soaked towel on her face until she was unconscious and then threw her into the chamber.
Exactly where I thought this was going.
Mm-hmm. Now, it should be mentioned at this point that Fritzl reportedly began sexually abusing Elizabeth in 1977 when she was only age 11.
Oh, gross.
And she's 18 now when she's held captive. So, Elizabeth disappears, okay?
No.
Allegedly disappears, right? Her mom doesn't know where she is. She has no idea about this basement cellar or anything like this, right?
Right.
Which I don't know how, but I'm not here to judge a mother or family members or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that their relationship had some tension as well anyways. And like he was really just very secretive of what he did. Right. Yeah. And he was abusive to his wife as well. So one can only ascertain that she would be like, okay, I'm going to mind my own business.
Yeah.
You do you, I do me. We're all happy. Right.
Right.
So after her disappearance, Rosemarie, mother Rosemarie, she filed a missing persons report. Almost a month later, Fritzl handed over a letter to the police, the first of several that he had forced Elizabeth to write while she was in captivity. The letter was postmarked from Brno, a place called Brno. And this is what Fritzl would do is he'd have her, like he'd dictate these letters that he would have her write. And then he would travel to other places to send them.
Ugh.
So that they'd be postmarked from other places.
Yeah.
It stated that she was tired of living with her family and she was staying with a friend. She warned her parents not to look for her or she would leave the country. Fritzl told police that she had most likely joined a cult.
Unfortunately, because of her previous attempts to escape her family.
Exactly.
Probably
exactly.
Easy to believe that story.
Absolutely. So, over the next 24 years, let me say that again. Over the next 24 years,
holy shit,
Fritzl went to the hidden chamber almost every day, or a minimum of 3 times a week, bringing food and other supplies and repeatedly raping her.
His own daughter.
Elizabeth gave birth to 7 children during her captivity.
Where'd they keep the kids?
One child died shortly after birth, and 3, Lisa, Monica, and Alexander, were removed from the chamber as infants to live with Fritzl and his wife, who were approved by local social services authorities as their foster parents. Official says that Fritzl very plausibly explained how 3 of his infant grandchildren had appeared on his doorstep. And that's that essentially there was a note left with the children on his doorstep that said, from his runaway daughter, take these children. I can't care for them.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. He, of course, Rosemarie is like, yeah, I will take care of my grandchildren. No problem, right? This family received regular visits from social workers who saw and heard nothing to arouse their suspicions. Following the 4th child's birth in 1994, Fritzl allowed the enlargement of the prison from 380 to 590 square feet, putting Elizabeth and her children to work digging out soil with their bare hands for years, just clawing at the earth
what the fuck? Digging their own, like, prison.
Yeah. The captives, however, they had a television, a radio, and a video cassette player. Food could be stored in the refrigerator and cooked or heated on hot plates. I mean, they had it made.
Ugh. Not, no.
Fuck out of here, Fritzl. Fritzl would punish the family by shutting off their lights or refusing to deliver food for days at a time. Fritzl told Elizabeth that, and the three children who remained, which are Kirsten, Stefan, and Felix, that they would be gassed if they tried to escape.
Oh my
gassed. God. Now, investigators later concluded that this was an empty threat to frighten the victims. There was no gas supply to the basement. He also told them that they would get electrocuted if they tried to meddle with the cellar door. Also, didn't hold any weight. Just wasn't true. Yeah. According to Fritzl's sister-in-law, Christine, he went into the basement every morning at 9 a.m., seemingly to draw plans for machines which he sold to manufacturing firms. At least that's what he was telling everybody. Mm-hmm. He often stayed there for the night and did not allow his wife to bring him coffee or anything, really. A tenant, because he used to rent out some rooms like in the main levels of his house, mm-hmm. A tenant who rented a ground floor room in the house for 12 years claimed to hear noises from the basement, but Fritzl just said they were caused by faulty pipes or the gas heating system.
Oh,
for
God.
12 fucking years, you're hearing children, like, probably clawing at the dirt to make their home bigger.
Oh, my God.
For 12 fucking years. And then how do you reconcile with that after you find out, like, what was really happening? I'm not, like, no hate to this guy, to this tenant. No. Obviously, like, what would make your, like, yeah, oh, faulty pipes, for sure. Totally, that's what that is. You would never think that.
Sound like children.
No, but you'd never believe that your landlord is hoarding part of his incestuous family down there. Do you know what
Definitely
I mean?
Definitely not.
Oh, boy.
Holy shit.
Oh. So in total, Elizabeth gave birth to 7 children, all conceived by her father. So in August of 1988, there was Kirsten. So she was the first. In February of 1990, it was Stefan. August of 1992, Lisa. February of 94, Monica. And May of 96, Alexander and Michael. Michael was Alexander's twin brother who died. He's the one that died after 3 days and he was cremated. Okay. And then in December of 2002 was Felix. So until Felix, like the first 5 are like 2 years apart.
Right.
So Monica, Alexander, and Lisa were all taken above ground by Fritzl, what we said earlier, who deceived his wife into thinking they were foundlings and raised them with her. The other children were left in the basement with Elizabeth until their discovery. And then, as we said before, to keep them from trying to leave, Fritzl convinced them that the cell was rigged to gas or they'd get electrocuted if they tried to force the door.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah. Sorry. Sniffle break.
Jeez, I can't wrap my head around this.
It's wild.
It is wild.
Insane. So on April 19th of 2008, Fritzl agreed to seek medical attention after Kirsten, the firstborn, fell unconscious. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, excuse me.
All right, Christy. It's Ooh, okay.
Okay, let's try that again. On April 19th of 2008, Fritzl agreed to seek medical attention after Kirsten, their firstborn, fell unconscious. Elizabeth helped carry Kirsten out of the chamber, and that's when she saw the outside world for the first time in 24 years. I can't wrap my head around that. I can't.
I can't either. Oh my God, that... So awful what she went through.
So after they get Kirsten out, Fritzl forces Elizabeth back into the chamber where she remained for a final week. Kirsten was taken by ambulance to a local hospital, the Landeskinium Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Sorry, I do have the pronunciation there, but I hope it's still Landeskinium. Landeskinium. I don't know. Okay. And was admitted in serious condition with life-threatening kidney failure. Fritzl later arrived at the hospital claiming to have found a note written by Kirsten's mother. He discussed Kirsten's condition and the note with the doctor, Albert Reeder. Medical staff found aspects of Fritzl's story puzzling, and so they alerted the police on the 21st of April.
Good.
The police broadcast an appeal on public media for the missing mother to come forward and provide information about Kirsten's medical history. And the police reopened the case file on Elizabeth's disappearance at this time. Fritzl repeated this story that Elizabeth was in a cult, and he presented what he claimed was the most recent letter from her, dated January 2008, posted from the town of Kematin. Again, I'm sorry, you guys. The police contacted Manfred Wolfhart, a church officer and expert on cults, who raised doubts about the existence of the group that Fritzl described. He noted that Elizabeth's letters seemed dictated and oddly written.
Sounds so legit.
Elizabeth pleaded with Fritzl to be taken to the hospital so that she could see her daughter.
Yeah.
On April 26th, he released her from the cellar along with her sons Stefan and Felix, bringing them upstairs.
Ooh.
How are you gonna fucking explain this one, Fritzl?
Yeah.
He and Elizabeth went to the hospital where Kirsten was being treated on April 26th. Following a tip-off from Dr. Reeder that Fritzl and Elizabeth were at the hospital, the police came and detained them on the hospital grounds and took them to a police station for questioning. So Elizabeth did not provide police with more details until they promised her that she would never have to see her father again. It's a fair trade-off, I'd
say.
That
is absolutely.
Yeah. Over the next 2 hours, she told the story of her 24 years in captivity. 24 years. I can't wrap my fucking head around it.
That's a long fucking time.
Yeah. Elizabeth recounted that Fritzl raped her and forced her to watch pornographic videos. Oh yeah, trigger warning. This part's a little bit rough.
Yeah.
Which he made her reenact with him in front of her children in order to humiliate her.
Holy shit.
That's so bad. It's fucking disgusting. That is awful. Yeah. Shortly after midnight, police officers completed the investigation. Fritzl, aged 73, was arrested on April 26th on suspicion of serious crimes against family members. During the night of April 27th, Elizabeth, her children, and her mother, Rosemary, were taken into care. Police said Fritzl told investigators how to enter the basement chamber through the small hidden door. Open, you know, the one that's 3.3 feet by 2 feet.
The
hobbit hole door, opened by a secret keyless entry code. Rosemary had been unaware of what had been happening to Elizabeth. On April 29th, it was announced that DNA evidence confirmed that Fritzl is the biological father of all his daughter's children. His
oh god,
this you know, defense lawyers in cases like this and how much you hate them, right?
Yep.
So be prepared to hate this motherfucker. Rudolf Mayer, his defense lawyer, said that although the DNA test proved incest, evidence was still needed for the allegations of rape and enslavement.
Ooh.
I mean, we don't know that she didn't consent to this.
Okay.
Sir. 24 years without seeing the outside world. Who would consent to that?
Did they see the hobbit hole she was kept in?
And you can't keep 7 children in a fucking basement.
No.
Or 4 or 3, however many. Like, you can't. In their May 1st daily press conference, Austrian police said that Fritzl had forced Elizabeth to write a letter to the previous year indicating that he may have been planning to release her and the children. The letter said that the letter said that she wanted to come home, but, quote, it's not possible yet, end quote. Police believe that Fritzl was planning to pretend to have rescued his daughter from a fictitious cult that he's been playing into this whole time.
Wow.
Police spokesman Franz Pulzer said that police had planned to interview at least 100 people who had lived as tenants in the Fritzl apartment building in the previous 24 years. 100 fucking people have gone in and out of that building in the last 24 years, none the wiser to what was going on down there.
The horror that was going on down there.
The horror.
Imagine finding out being one of those renters and finding out that that was happening.
Oh my God. I would ask for my damage deposit back. Well, I mean, I hope you get it back after you leave anyways, yeah. Right? But so the trial of Joseph Fritzl commenced on, just seeing what time we're at here. I don't know. This one might have to be a micro brew. Mm-hmm. The trial of Joseph Fritzl commenced on March 16th of 2009 in the city of Sankt-Pölten. Presided over by Judge Andrea Humer. On the first day, Fritzl entered the courtroom attempting to hide his face from cameras behind a blue folder. Nice. Which he was entitled to do under Austrian law. After opening comments, all journalists and spectators were asked to leave the courtroom, whereupon Fritzl lowered his folder. Fritzl pleaded guilty to all charges with the exception of murder and grievous assault by threatening to gas his captives if they disobeyed him. In his opening remarks, Rudolf Meyer, the defending counsel, appealed to the jury to be objective and not be swayed by emotions. He insisted Fritzl was, quote, not a monster, end quote, saying that Fritzl had brought a Christmas tree down to his captives. Captives is the key fucking word here, sir. That he had brought a Christmas tree down to his captives in the cellar during the holiday season. Don't let emotions get to you. He's not a monster. He brought them a Christmas tree. How'd you shove it through the hobbit hole, huh?
I feel so much better about it now. You look like
a fucking Grinch shoving the Christmas tree up the fucking chimney in the movie. Oh, do you know what I mean? Fuck out of here, Fritzl. And what's your name? Mayor. Rudolf Mayor. Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Christiane Burkheiser, prosecuting her first case since being appointed chief prosecutor, pressed for life imprisonment in an institution for the criminally insane. She demonstrated for jurors the low height of the ceiling in the cellar dungeon by making a mark on the door of the courtroom at 5'8.5". So that's how tall it was. 5'8.5". I'm 5'8".
Holy, so that's like half an inch taller than you.
This, like, this much room from,
oh my gosh,
you know what I mean?
Brutal.
So she marked that on the courtroom door just to give a visual, and she described the cellar as damp and moldy, passing around a box of musty objects that were taken from the cellar, and the odor made the jurors flinch. Like, oof. They had a visceral reaction to the odor of these objects.
But guys, it was a Christmas tree, so
right,
throw all that aside.
There was a Christmas tree, yeah,
there was a Christmas tree at Christmas, so who cares?
Yeah, they had a TV. Fuck. On the first day of testimony, jurors watched 11 hours of testimony recorded by Elizabeth in sessions with police and psychologists in July 2008. Oof. The tape has been said to be so harrowing that the 8 jurors did not watch more than 2 hours at a time. 4 replacement jurors were on standby to replace any of the regular jurors just in case they couldn't bear to hear any more of the evidence.
Yeah.
Besides the video testimony, Elizabeth's older brother, Harold, had testified and said that he had been physically abused by Fritzl as a child. Fritzl's wife, Rosemary, and Elizabeth's children refused to testify. On March 18th, 2009, Elizabeth Fritzl attended the second day of the criminal trial against her father in preparation for a book she wrote about her ordeal. She didn't plan to see her father ever again, though. No. And Fritzl's attorney, fucking Rudolf motherfucking Mayor, asshole of the century here, Mr. Christmas, confirmed that she had been in the visitor's gallery in disguise at the time her video testimony was aired. And Joseph Fritzl had recognized that Elizabeth was in court. And from that point on, you could see Joseph going pale and he broke down, is what Mayor said. Oh, the humanity.
Oh,
see, he's not a monster.
Had to see your victim.
Really, really bad.
We feel so sorry for you.
Right? God damn it.
Yeah.
The next day, Fritzl began the proceedings by approaching the judge and changing his pleas to guilty on all charges.
Okay.
Because remember, he...
The note of the threats of gassing them and stuff, yeah.
On March 19th, 2009, Fritzl was sentenced to life imprisonment. You, sir, are a douchebag. Goodbye. Without the possibility of parole for 15 years. Sorry, I've been listening to way too much Small Town Murder, where they're like, you, sir, may fuck off.
I love Small Town Murders.
I do, too. So he said that he accepted the sentence and would not appeal. Fritzl is currently serving out his sentence in Garsten Abbey, which is a former monastery in Upper Austria that has been converted into a prison.
Okay, so he didn't get put in the psych ward? Yeah, put in a regular prison?
No, yet.
Okay. Not a psychiatric facility, I mean.
Yeah, we'll talk about it some more. Excuse me while I fuck with my nose so I can breathe.
Understandable. We want you to breathe.
I like to breathe.
Same.
So let's talk a little bit about Joseph's criminal history. To glean on that a little bit.
Okay.
So in 1967, Fritzl broke into the Linz home of a 24-year-old nurse while her husband was away, and he raped her while holding a knife to her throat, threatening to kill her if she screamed.
Nice.
According to an annual report for 1967 and a press release from the same year, he was also named as a suspect in a case of attempted rape of a 21-year-old woman and was known for indecent exposure. Fritzl was arrested and served 12 months of an 18-month prison sentence, and in accordance with Austrian law, his criminal record was expunged after 15 years.
I'm sorry, what? Come again? What's the law?
In accordance with Austrian law, his criminal record was expunged after 15 years.
This is standard practice in Austria? Whoa, they're worse in Canada.
So as a result, more than 25 years later, when he applied to adopt and or foster Elizabeth's children, the local social service authorities did not discover his criminal history. So he was allowed to do so.
Yeah, we can't blame that on them for sure. Oof, hopefully some laws changed after this.
Mm-hmm. So he has been suspected of some murders as well.
Really?
On November 12th, 1986, at 6:40 a.m., 17-year-old Martina Claudia Posch left her home in Fockleybrook. If I say it enough, it'll fucking sound good. To go to a nearby bus stop. When she did not show up for an agreed meeting with her boyfriend at around 5 p.m., he called Martina's mother, who thought her daughter was already with her boyfriend. She later learned that Martina had not shown up for work that day, and so authorities were also able to determine through witness statements that Posch had not been on the bus that morning either. On November 22nd, 1986, two scuba divers found Posch's body wrapped in two olive green tarps, on the southern shore of Lake Monsey. The forensic examination revealed that she had been killed by strangulation 2 hours after leaving her parents' home. After his arrest, Fritzl was investigated for possible involvement, since at the time of the murder, he and his wife ran a guest house, which was located opposite where Posch was found. And she was also very physically similar to his daughter, Elizabeth. In addition to Posch's homicide, Fritzl was looked into as a suspect in the death of Anna Neumayer, 17 years old, who was killed with a captive bolt pistol. This is a device that, sorry, I'm hearing an echo for me. A captive bolt pistol is a device that's used to attempt to stun animals prior to slaughter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nasty. Quick question.
Yeah.
Was he investigated for these murders before the discovery of Elizabeth? Or did they start looking at him after?
That's a good question.
Sorry. Here, throwing in the tough question here. We can cut this out.
I think after.
Okay.
I want to say after. I want to say that once. Yeah.
Okay.
Once he was, it was after. Okay. And he was caught with this, and then they,
okay.
So Anna Neumayer, she was killed with a captive bolt pistol in a field in Linz on August 17th, 1966. She had disappeared on her way to Wells, which is 35 kilometers from where Fitzel worked at the time. Mm-hmm. And another potential victim was Gabrielle Supikova. She was 42, and she was a prostitute who was murdered in August of 2007. Her body was found in at the Lipno Reservoir near the Austrian, near the Austrian-Czech border at a time when Fritzl was on holiday there. However, mm-hmm. Fritzl was never ultimately charged with these murders because there was just a lack of evidence.
Right.
Now, after his arrest, Fritzl claimed that his behavior toward his daughter did not constitute rape, but it was instead consensual. Because you're a douchebag, of course. In extracts from talks with his lawyer, Fritzl said that he, quote, always knew during the whole 24 years that what I was doing was not right, that I must have been crazy to do such a thing. Yet it became a normal occurrence to lead a second life in the basement of my house, end quote. Regarding his treatment of the family he had with his wife, Fritzl stated, quote, I am not the beast the media make me to be, end quote. Regarding his treatment of Elizabeth and her children in the cellar, he explained that he had brought flowers for Elizabeth and books and toys for the children into the bunker, as he called it. It's not a cellar. It's not a bunker. Prison cell. It's a bunker. And often watched videos with the children and ate meals with Elizabeth and the children. He's a good dad. Ugh. Fritzl decided to imprison Elizabeth after she, quote, did not adhere to any rules anymore, end quote. When she became a teenager.
Sir, that's what happens when your kid grows up.
Exactly. So this running away, she's not completing school. She's kind of, you know, finding her own way. She's veering off course, he thinks, or whatever. Anyway, she's not adhering to the rules anymore. When she became a teenager, quote, he says, quote, that is why I had to do something. I had to create a place where I could keep Elizabeth by force if necessary away from the outside world, end quote. He suggested that the emphasis on discipline in the Nazi era during which he grew up until the age of 10 might have influenced his views about decency and good behavior. The chief editors of News magazine noted in an editorial that they expected Fritzl's statement to form the basis of a defense strategy of his lawyer. And critics said his statement may have been employed to prepare an insanity defense.
We already knew that was coming.
Yeah. Now, reflecting on Fritzl's childhood, he initially described his mother as the best woman in the world and as strict as it was necessary. Later, he expressed a negative opinion of his mother and claimed that she used to beat me, hit me until I was lying in a pool of blood on the floor. It left me feeling totally humiliated and weak. My mother was a servant and she used to work hard all her life. I never had a kiss from her. I was never cuddled, although I wanted it. I wanted her to be good to me. End quote. Which this is where, you know, if that is true, which it's nature versus nurture, right? And now I'm not making excuses for him, but this is one of those scenarios where you hear it said all the time in other podcasts with other podcasters. You feel bad for the child, but not the person that they became, right? He has no control over his mother's lack of love.
Yeah.
But you are still an individual who gets to make your own individual choices. So. Yeah. He also claimed that she called him a Satan, a criminal, and a no good, and that he had a horrible fear of her.
He is all those things.
Yeah. He became all those things for sure.
Definitely.
In 1959, after Fritzl had married and bought his house, his mother moved in with them. Over time, their roles reversed, and his mother came to fear Fritzl. Eventually, he also admitted that he later locked his mother in the attic and bricked up her window after telling the neighbors that she had died and kept her locked up until her death in 1980. It is unknown how long Fritzl kept his mother locked up in the attic, but newspapers have speculated that it may have been up to 20 years.
What? like during the same time he had Elizabeth locked up, or like what?
Ish.
Or like after his mom died, he then put Elizabeth.
No, I think his mom died first, and then yeah.
Okay, so and like he grew to enjoy having somebody locked up, and then
he has a niche.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he'd been building that. Sorry, what did he call it? Cellar. Not cellar.
Oh, yeah, he's wanted to do this. He knew.
Yeah, he's been building it for years, so he already, like.
He's been planning this, yeah.
What a psycho.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I know.
Yeah.
In a report by forensic psychiatrist Adelaide Kastner, Fritzl's mother is described as unpredictable and abusive. Fritzl referred to himself as an alibi child, meaning that his mother only gave birth to him to prove that she was not barren and could produce children. Fritzl claims that his pathological behavior is innate. During his prison stint for the earlier rape conviction, he admits that he planned to lock his daughter up so that he could contain and express his evil side. So there you go.
Yeah.
Here's the premeditative.
Yeah.
He said that, quote, oh, this is off. What a fucking awful thing to admit to. He says, yeah. Quote, I was born to rape and I had held myself back for a relatively long time. I could have behaved a lot worse than locking up my daughter, end quote.
I hope you get raped
in prison, sir.
I hope so too.
And I am sorry if that offends anybody listening, but like, come on.
Fucking awful. Like,
ugh.
Fuck, that's man, tough. That's
a beast.
That's heavy.
The forensic psychiatrist diagnosed Fritzl as having a severe combined personality disorder. Yeah. Which included borderline, schizotypal, and schizoid types, and a sexual disorder. Schizotypal? And schizoid types and a sexual disorder, and recommended that Fritzl receive psychiatric care for the rest of his life.
Mm.
Later reports have revealed Fritzl's premeditated plan to lock his daughter up was not for discipline, but for his own gratification.
Yeah.
So you can be all those things. You can have all these disorders, but you really put a lot of thought and planning into this, sir.
Indeed.
So there is obviously some good to come out of this. Number one, Elizabeth is free as she survived this whole ordeal. I mean, by survived, obviously there's a whole lot she has to deal with, and her kids as well.
Yeah.
But
she's alive.
She's yeah, exactly. So after fleeing her father's homemade prison, Elizabeth was sent to live under police protection in an unidentified Austrian town known only as Village X. But she wasn't sent there alone. Her six children, all of whom had been fathered by Joseph in the basement, they all came with her. And since then, Austrian authorities and residents of Village X have made great efforts to protect the family's privacy.
Good.
Elizabeth Fritzl and her children all have new identities now, and their exact whereabouts remain a mystery.
Good.
Probably will for forever.
Yeah.
However, some details about their new lives have emerged over the years, and what is known about them seems very promising. But obviously it wasn't an easy feat. Yeah. Elizabeth and her six surviving children underwent extensive medical and psychological care after their escape from Joseph. Fortunately, Kirsten was able to recover from her serious illness and was eventually reunited with her family members. But despite the fact that they were finally freed from their captor, they still faced quite a few challenges. So, for example, the downstairs children had to be slowly introduced to sunlight, space, and nutritious food, as they experienced none of that in the basement. 19-year-old Kirsten required extensive dental treatment as she had lost all her teeth. 18-year-old Stefan walked with a stoop because he was too tall to walk upright in the basement. That was 5'8.5".
Yeah.
5-year-old Felix preferred crawling over walking.
Oh, no.
And they were all traumatized by their imprisonment in the cellar.
Yes, rightfully so.
And then the upstairs children, 16-year-old Lisa, 14-year-old Monica, and 12-year-old Alexander, have been raised in comparatively normal conditions by Joseph and Rosemary, but they were horrified to learn what Joseph had done to their mother and their other siblings. It's almost like they had that survivor's guilt, right? Like, why did they get to move upstairs? But, you know, like, how was that decided? I don't know.
Right.
Despite the many physical and psychological difficulties that the family faced, they did eventually show progress, and that was encouraging enough for them to leave a medical setting and start a new life on their own. Now, every member of the family was given a new identity, as we said before, and they were sent to that small hamlet known as Village X. And along with continued access to therapists and other medical experts, they were provided police protection as well as bodyguards to keep them safe. And their new home was equipped with CCTV surveillance meant to run 24/7. And now Elizabeth Fritzl and her children are also fiercely protected by their neighbors, who are determined to preserve the family's privacy, which is so sweet. They reveal few details about their life to outsiders who visit the village. One resident said, quote, "Everyone knows the backstory, but no one talks about the past. They have a new life and people respect that," end quote.
Good.
Now, a 2024 update for y'alls on this. According to Austrian public broadcaster ORF, Fritzl, who is currently 88 and has dementia, may be moved out of a high security prison and into a regular prison, or he may even be given a conditional release. Fritzl is eligible for parole this year. And in 2022, a regional court in Austria ruled that Fritzl was no longer a danger. Yeah.
Fuck.
And that is Elizabeth Fritzl, our survivor story.
God, I could not even, like, begin to imagine what her life was like.
Is that disgusting? 24 years!
I know.
In a hole, those children having to be, like, acclimated to sunlight, daylight, space, you don't think of that. You think that they'd just be, oh, so happy to have all this space. But, like,
they've never been in the sunlight.
That's something you have to acclimate to. Oof. You spent,
Oof. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's a monster. He is a monster.
He is a monster. I also forgot to mention that this is officially our 50th episode.
50? Nice.
It's only been three years.
Happy 50th episode, Christy.
Happy 50th. Only took us two and a half years to get here. hopefully we can bang out another 50 before the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? 100. Start 2025. But I guess
that won't really work, because if there's 52 weeks in a year, we'd have to do one episode a week. And we're already like a quarter of the way through the year.
That's true. That's true.
So, not this year, you guys. Maybe next year. We'll get
maybe
to one
next
week.
Year, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Christy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for
putting
me
together this case today and presenting
it. I'm sorry it was such a fucking hassle to get on here.
Oh, that's okay. We'll get used to it, just in time for a new program.
Yeah. I'll figure out the app here sooner or later. But, who knows? We might just find a whole different program.
Oh, I think we will. Yeah. I suspect that we might.
Seeming like it. We'll anyways, see. You guys can find us on our socials. We are on Facebook at Homebrew Murder Crew.
We're on Instagram at Homebrew Murder Crew.
We're on TikTok at Homebrew Murder Crew. And please follow us on TikTok so we can get to 1,000 followers and do lives for you guys.
Yes. So you can see our beautiful faces more. And you can also email us at homebrewmurdercrew@gmail.com.
Yeah, and send us your personal stories, whether they're, because remember, this is a true crime paranormal cryptid podcast. So we would really love to hear your personal stories, or a friend of yours, or, you know, however removed the story is, but just so we could do some like listener episodes and stuff like that. So send us your hauntings, send us your ghost encounters, send us your alien abduction stories, send us your cryptid encounters, your true crime stories, whatever it is, send it to us. And yeah, let's chat. So
yeah, any requests that you have, you can send us those as well. Send us pictures of your animals, only of animals.
No dick pics.
No dick pics.
And no viruses. No scam emails.
None of those.
I had to go through our email and I had to like clean out. Oh, I cleaned out a whole bunch of these just junk mail, and I'm so sad to see that. Oh, we didn't have any emails from our listeners, but you know what? I'm going to keep checking and I'm sure we'll see one. And remember, we have Patreon now. So please, 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 if you can spare $3 a month, less than a cup of coffee a month.
Yeah.
We'll love you forever. And we'll make sure it's worth it for you. Yes. So until next time, you guys,
thanks for listening.
Don't build a cellar in your basement. Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't,
unless it's a wine cellar.
Yes, a big wine cellar.
A big wine cellar. But if it has to have a little hobbit hole door, yes, I'm not feeling absolutely. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm for that. I'm for the wine cellar. Keep that wine captive, keep not your daughter.
Exactly. All right. Well, we will catch you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.